Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
For those of you that don't know me, if you're new or whatever, and I've not been up preaching in a while, my name's Jason. My wife, Natalie, was here in the first service. We have four kids. Two of them are adults gone, and two of them are adults still living at home. Well, not quite adults. I tease. The two older ones are gone. One lives in Nashville. One lives in Pennsylvania. And then the two younger ones, they still do live at home. They were here this morning as well. Micah and William are the two that still live at home, and they were here first service and have left. But here's the conundrum that I run into, and so you'll just have to bear with me as I plow through this second message. When I was pastoring, I was preaching every Sunday. And so I would write messages, be done, move on, write messages. And now that I'm not doing that anymore, I have a lot of time to really think. And I overthink and overanalyze everything. I don't know, does anybody else do that, or is it just me? A few of you, a couple of you? And so when Hal called me, Pastor Hal called me about a month and a half ago and said, hey, can you do the 14th? I was like, yes. I'd already been thinking of something. I'd already gone through something. I was studying the book of Mark, and I'd come across this passage, and it had spoken to me in the past quite a long time ago, but this second study through in the last few months really grabbed me, and so I already knew that this was it, that this is where it was going. And so then that was already happening. No, I'd already been taking some notes and just, you know, writing down in my journals and stuff like that. And then he called and said, hey, can you do the 14th for me? And I was like, I can do that. And so the conundrum is I've had like a month and a half plus to like completely overanalyze this and do it. So we will have dinner prepared in the back. So just stay. Don't worry about it. We'll feed you at like 5 or 6 o'clock this evening. We will feed you and whatever. No, I'm teasing. But I'm gonna get through this. I've got a ton of really good stuff, and we'll just see kind of where it goes through and all my notes and all that kind of stuff. But I want to say this before I get started. I want to say this first of all. I'm gonna pull this thing down because any of you that have been here for any length of time, it's really really heavy. Holy macaroni. Okay. Know that I cannot stay up on that stage. I walk around way too much and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to move this down here. But let me say this before I pray and get started is this. I believe wholeheartedly that many of you, if not all of you, are going to walk away today. Now hear me carefully, please. Not convicted necessarily, though you may be, not convicted necessarily, but all of you are going to walk away today with God having grabbed a hold of something in your heart. And here's why I believe this, because I have been praying over this message and you for at least a month and a half when Hal called and said, here's what I would like you to hear, I'd like you to preach on this day. And so please hear me when I say, I don't say this with any arrogance at all, it had better not be me that grabs something in your heart. It better not be me that convicts something cool I say, or you're like, man, I don't know, that guy was just, man, he just said it really, because that will fleet, that will fly, that will pass. I have been praying for you and for myself as I put this together. I've been praying for you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you individually. To grab a hold of something in your heart at the core of who you are and walk with you through it. That's my prayer. And I believe that that is going to take place. It may not be something that happens immediately right here in the service. I believe that it could happen later on today or throughout the week, that God just continues to minister to you. But you've got notes. Does everybody have notes? If you don't, Max back here, he's ready to pass them on. We got a couple hands over in here in this area. Again, I do this hopefully so that you can look it back over, but again, not so that you could say, man, that guy was really good. Man, he did that really well. And so therefore, it kind of grabbed a hold of me. No, you're fine. You're totally fine. It is my passion and my desire that you and the creator of the universe talk this through. By the power of his Holy Spirit, things will ebb and flow and change in your life for the positive and for the good. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being here. Thank you for wanting to be in relationship with us. Thank you for passionately desiring to pour out your love and your goodness and your kindness onto us. Thank you for chasing us. Thank you for pursuing us. And so, Lord, in the midst of those thank yous, I pray that you would help me to get out of the way during these next minutes. Father, I don't want to be funny or tricky or say a crafty thing or a neat thing or a cool thing. I don't want to do any of that, Lord. I want me to get out of the way so that you can move. These are your people. These are your children. And I'm just honored to be able to speak to them. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you have a favorite piece of clothing? How many of you have a kind of a go-to thing? Maybe it's you're getting ready to go out for the evening or something like that, and this is a good thing to wear when we go out. How about maybe if you have a meeting or something, and so this is kind of the, I know when I do big things, like typically when I speak and all that kind of stuff, I like to wear blue because I feel like blue is a power color, you know, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. Anybody, I saw a couple of you kind of lightly go, I don't know. But do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's you've worked all day and you come home, and so it's that go-to sweatshirt or that go-to T-shirt or something like that. That it's just kind of the deal. These jeans that I have on, I'm not a big jean purchaser. I can say in my whole life, by the way, I'll just let you know, in like a month and a half, I turned 50. So it's a huge, big, long life. I'm probably the oldest person in this room right now. Somebody laughed like that. So I'm not a big jeans purchaser, but I was in need of a new pair. I can probably count on both these hands how many times I've actually purchased a pair of jeans in my whole entire life. But I needed a new pair of jeans. My wife told me so, which is a big deal. And actually, Dawn Hester told me I needed to go get a new pair of jeans because I had too many holes in my other pairs. So when the first lady of Vineyard says, "Go, you need to go get a pair of jeans," I do as she says, and my wife as well. And so I went. So I went and got these jeans. These jeans are by far the best jeans I've ever bought. They are comfortable. They are sleek. They fit perfect. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I've had some pretty cool jeans, some pretty nice jeans. These, if I could get away with it, I'd wear these all the time. I'd wear them to bed. I'd wear them in the shower. I'd wear them all the time. I would not take them off. I don't think I can get away with that. Plus, I mean, quite frankly, they just make me look good. I'm convinced of that. If you aren't, that's fine. I am. That's all that matters. But when I was in high school, if I was to lose these jeans, if they were to rip or spill something on them and get the big stain on them, it really wouldn't be that big of a deal, even though they are literally the favorite pair of jeans I've ever owned. But I had a sweatshirt when I was in high school. So I'm probably 16, 17, 18 years old, something like that. I had a sweatshirt that I wore as often as I could, and I loved that sweatshirt. I don't really know why. Reflecting back as I was putting this message together and reflecting on a bunch of things, I kind of reflected back. I don't know. I think it might have been my dad's, which then made it special and whatever the case was, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't remember that for sure. There was nothing special about it. It was just a plain old green sweatshirt, hooded, had holes in it. It was super comfortable. It was like thread thin, so there was no warmth. It had nothing to do with being warm living up in Buffalo, New York, with this sweatshirt. It wasn't for the warmth. The front pocket had been torn off, which was kind of cool because then the green was much darker right there where the, you know, where it had, you know, not worn, you know, all this kind of stuff, had holes in it. And I wore it, man, I just wore it everywhere, everywhere that I was allowed, everywhere that I could get away with it. My mom would let me, you know, whatever I would do. I wore it all the time, 16, 17, 18 years old. It was just, it was like my Linus blanket, I guess. And I went one day to go and grab it and put it on and leave the house. And we had one of those things by the door. What are they called? Like a coat tree or something? Do you remember, where, you know, it was like four or five hooks on it and everybody hung their coats on and all this kind of stuff. And you're probably saying, man, I've lived in Florida my whole life. I don't own a coat. Yeah. So, and I went to, and it was gone. It wasn't there. It's always there. When I, you know, when I come home and got ready, whatever, I just hang it up and it's gone. I'm standing there like this, and I'm thinking, I'm getting a little nervous. I'm thinking, gosh, what did I do with this? Hang it. You know, so I went to my laundry basket. Maybe I was going to wash it. I don't know. That was a little risky because it might fall apart. Not there. My sisters, I have three younger sisters. They were always stealing my clothes, you know, with different shirts and sweaters and stuff like that. And so I went to them, and nope, they hadn't seen it, which they could be lying, but they weren't. I believed them in the moment. And so I went out to the car. Maybe I'd taken it off in my car or dad's car or whatever and searched the house. I finally went to my mom. I said, hey, mom, my green sweatshirt, I can't find it anywhere. And she said, oh, yeah, that old green sweatshirt, I threw that away. I literally came unglued. I literally lost my mind. And you're probably sitting out there thinking, okay, well, that's a little ridiculous. And it might be, unless you have an old green sweatshirt and you know what I'm talking about. You have that article of clothing, that's something that's kind of your go-to. And if it all of a sudden just got up and walked away, or better yet, somebody on their own took it and threw it out. I mean, I said, as respectfully as I could, and I probably was not as respectful as I should be, I said, Mom, seriously, what did you do with it? I said, did you just throw it down in the laundry downstairs? Nope. I was walking by it, and it was old, and I threw it out. I said, there's a lot of other coats and jackets on that tree, Mom, that you could have thrown out, a bunch of them if you wanted to. And I literally just, my heart sank. I was attached to, that identified me, that old green sweatshirt. Today, where I'm going with this, because you're probably like, where is he going with this message from this day? Where I'm going with this is this today. We're going to read about a man who had possessions, but he was possessed by those possessions. They possessed him. He did not possess them. They possessed him. And when Jesus chatted with him about that, he couldn't give it up. He couldn't give it away. So without further ado, and talking about green sweatshirts, and that's how I'm going to refer to them for the rest of the message, is your green sweatshirt. No, you know what? I'm not. Should I go here first, Skinner Duo? Did I read the scripture first, or did I go down the back? I read the scripture first. I don't remember that. Let's read the scripture first. If you have a Bible, that would be great. Open to the book of Mark. I think there's some, if you don't have one, there's some around. But we'll also see it up here on the screen. Here's the deal. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. I know Hal likes to use the ESV, the English Standard Version. Some of you might have an NIV or a King James or something like that. Use whatever one you want. I really like the Passion. I also like the Voice. I like the New Living Translation. But today I'm going to use the Passion Translation. So we're in the book of Mark. We're starting in verse number 17. We're going to go 17 to 27. Here we go. As Jesus started on his way. All right, so picture this. You got a picture in your head. Jesus has been doing whatever. And it's done. And he is starting on his way. He's leaving. He's not engaging anyone anymore necessarily. It's all, they've wrapped it up, whatever's happening. And he's starting to walk away. He and the disciples are starting to move on. Jesus started on his way, and a man came running up to him. Just go ahead. And knelt down before him and cried out, good teacher. What one thing am I required to do to gain eternal life? Verse 18. And Jesus responded to him and said, why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. Now, hopefully, this verse in your years of studying and reading and all this time, this verse at times has kind of perplexed you because Jesus is God. And so it's kind of a weird question to ask, but I'm going to get to that. Verse 19. You already know, this is Jesus continuing to talk, you already know the commandments. He's implying to this man, this Jewish man, that he's probably a good Jew. He probably knows these commandments. And here they are. He said, you already know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Basically, don't be a liar. Do not cheat. And honor your father and mother. Verse number 20. Yes! 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 Can you see this guy right now? Yes! Yes! The man says, yes! This is great. I have obeyed these things carefully, all of these, since my youth. And then here it is. This is the crux of my entire message today, is right here. And Jesus fixed his eyes, his gaze upon him, and with tender love, Some of your translations maybe say it this way. He looked on him and he loved him. Others say he fixed his eyes on him and genuinely loved him. And so Jesus fixed his gaze upon this man and with tender love, he said to him, yet there is still one thing in you lacking. Go, sell all that you have, give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. After you have done this, then come back and walk with me. Verse 22, thus the title of today's message, verse 22, completely shocked, overwhelmed, baffled by Jesus' answer, the man then turned and walked away very sad because he was extremely rich. Jesus then turned to his disciples, so the man has gotten up and is walking away. Jesus turned back to his disciples and he said, how hard it is then for the wealthy to enter into God's kingdom realm. The disciples were startled when they heard this, and Jesus again, though, said to them, children, it is next to impossible for those who trust in there, their riches for this guy, their what? It is very difficult to find their way into God's kingdom realm, into a relationship with God. It is easier to stuff a rope through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter into God's kingdom realm. This again left them more astonished, and they whispered to one another. Who can be saved? And why? We don't get it. We don't understand. And Jesus looked at them and said, with people, it is impossible. Not so with God, because, you ready? Say it with me. Because with God, all things are possible. On the back of your notes, I've created a list, and this is one of the conundrums that I run into when I have too much time to plan, when I have a month and a half to work, because then I overanalyze and I think about all these things. And so here's where I want to go today. Here's what I want to do. In this specific situation, this man's possessions, if you will, are what the issue is going to be. The rich guy. He walked away. What was he afraid of? Why was he walking away? What broke his heart? Do you really ultimately think it was the riches themselves specifically? I don't know. I don't think so. But whatever your green sweatshirt is, Jesus is demanding that you let it go. And so my question is this, what does my idol, what does the thing that identifies me, what is the thing that I'm in possession of, what is the thing that defines me, what does it do for me that Jesus can't do? Why am I holding on to it? What am I afraid of in letting this go? Thus, the theme on the front, very quickly, the theme on the front, turn back to the front real quickly. The theme then, Jesus demands that you give up what defines you and follow him so that he can define who you truly are. So then, here we go. On to the back. Here's where I just think too much. I have way too much going on in my mind, going 90 miles a minute. I started to make a list of all of these things that define me, of all of these idols, of all of these green sweatshirts that I refuse to let go of. So see if any of them relate to you. Again, I'm not here to convict. I know somebody came up to me at the end of first service and said, oh, you know, we got about down to this one right here. Jason and my wife nudged me. Now, we're not nudging today. We'll let the Holy Spirit nudge. How's that? We'll let the Holy Spirit nudge. I'm not trying to show you that, you know, that these are mine, and so, you know, you should know them for yourself as well. I'm just trying to be honest and say, man, I struggle with these things too. I hold on to my green jackets at the expense of my relationship with God. So let's run down through these. When I was very first putting this together, when Hal first called me and I started to put this down, this very first one on the list was something I was going through. I felt like I was being treated unfairly. And I was clinging to that. And so therefore I was manipulating situations. I was trying to craft things to happen so that I wasn't treated unfairly anymore. I didn't like it. It hurt my heart. It made me mad. It made me upset. It made me sad. And if I could control it, if I could manipulate it and get these people to stop treating me unfairly, that would be a good thing. And what I wasn't doing is I wasn't releasing it to him. Rehearsing wrongs done to me. Holding on to offense. I don't know about you, but Jiminy crickets. Why I rehearse things in my head again and again and again. You know the old saying, the elephant never forgets or whatever? I must be like total pachydermy then, because, man, the things I remember and the things I hold on to and the things that I rehearse in my head. John Bevere, I don't know if any of you know him, writer John Bevere, wrote a book, A Bait of Satan, I think it's called, and it's all about offenses. Man, I literally have to read that book at the beginning of every single year just so I can go through this year, hopefully not holding on to offense, rehearsing things in my head of things that have been done wrong to me. My green sweatshirt. Self-pity, self-loathing, self-esteem issues. Do you all know who you are? 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 You are sons and daughters of the Most High. You're children of the King of Kings. And yet we wallow so often, believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of Christ, people who read the word, we wallow in this self-pity, this self-loathing, and we have these self-esteem issues. Man, that is a green sweatshirt. And Jesus is looking at you and he's saying, I love you. I love you. And sometimes we take that green sweatshirt and we hide it behind our back like he's not going to notice it. Unforgiveness. Nope. I just breathed into it. Unforgiveness. I'm sure nobody in here is holding unforgiveness in their heart, right? Oy, oy, oy. Unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is like a poison. And the person who's unwilling to forgive, the person who holds on to that green sweatshirt called unforgiveness, drinks that poison themselves and hopes the other person dies. And the whole time Jesus is just looking at you and doing this, he's looking at you and going, I love you. I love you. He looked on this man in the book of Mark. He looked on him and he what? He loved him. Here's one. Here's the one that the guy came up to me and said his wife needled him on this, so don't do this. Needing to always be right, therefore correcting everyone. Oh, I just saw a couple people look around. You just corrected somebody. Caught you. That's a problem. That's a problem I deal with. Well, first of all, I know I'm right. But secondly, I don't got to let everybody else know that. by correcting them all the time. But you know what it comes down to for me? I don't know about for you. Maybe you're just like, well, Jason, I am right all the time. I bought a shirt for my wife one time. It said, I'm not bossy. I just have the best answers or something like that. Here's the problem with always needing to be right and correcting. It's a self-esteem issue. I don't know. At least for me, that's what it is. I need to prove that I'm right. I need to prove it. Control issues, manipulating. Probably nobody in here has any of those types of things. Withholding love, withholding compassion, withholding mercy. How many of you have ever, God has kind of laid on your heart to love on this person, to show them compassion, to show them some mercy, and you've gone like this to God, and you go, oh, God, I'll tell you right now, if I do that for them, you know what they're going to do back to me? Oh. Now, probably nobody's done it, but I have. And so then I've withheld that. Seeking to grow my own kingdom, seeking to grow my own agenda. That last song we just sang, the last song in the worship set, I'm sorry for bringing my own agenda. Man, the first time I heard that song, good song, going through it. Oh, man, this is kind of a new song I like. Man, that line came up and I was just like, oh my goodness. I mean, God, you don't think I come with my own agendas? Yeah, pretty much most of the time. Great. My own agendas. I want things my way. Safety. We're all about safety, aren't we? How many of you live inside a gated community that's inside a gated community? I've never figured those out. That's like the double whammy. I have to get through the first gate and the second gate just to get to your house. By the time I got there, dinner was already done. But we're Americans, man. We're all about safety. Which leads me then to my next one, being American. Isn't it the greatest thing ever? I mean, yes, I love being an American. But with this idea that we're Americans means that we have our rights. Before Creator God, we have no rights. He's in charge. Phone, social media, TV, addicted to noise. Some of you are on social media right now, and I know that because I see you back there doing this. And I know you're not doing it to your notes, trying to get that little thing off your notes. You're scrolling. And you're saying, well, I was just getting to an open blank so I could take some notes from your stuff, Pastor Jason. That'd be great. I'm doing this study on the book of Mark, and I'm doing it through a booklet that I bought and just kind of plowing through it. Whatever. And the guy that wrote it, in his very first couple of days, he challenged anybody reading this book, going through this study. He said, I challenge you to turn your phone off and put it away for the 15 or 20 minutes that it takes you to do this every day. And the first time I read it straight, right at the beginning, straight away, I was like, huh, that's a good idea. And people are trying to get a hold of me all the time. No, that's not true. But that's a good idea. So I turned that phone off and I set it over here. And literally for the next 20 minutes, I was like this. Just a second, God. I'm pretty sure somebody, and he'd say, no, leave it off. And it was difficult. And I don't even think I'm addicted to my phone. I've watched some of y'all. They're all. It's like imprinted on the inside of your glasses and it just scrolls. What if you turn the TV off for a month? Now some of you in here are going, oh, I don't ever watch TV. Okay, great. But there's some that watch a lot of TV. It's the defrag time at the end of the day. What if you turned your TV off for a month? And every time you started to go into jitters because the TV wasn't on, you just went and spent some time with the Lord. The green sweatshirt. React versus respond. I've started going to Celebrate Recovery. I've only gone to one, and then I keep telling Gary I've got things going on and I can't make it, which is horrible. No, I'm just teasing. That was a joke. Y'all were supposed to laugh a little bit. Thank you very much. But in this one that I went to, they talked about reacting versus responding. Where reacting is just burst out of yourself, and in the moment you're angry with this or mad or you're going to get this. Whatever. Responding is taking a few seconds, letting the Holy Spirit speak through. Is that the green sweatshirt? Expectations or planned resentments. How many of you have expectations? You demand of other people with these expectations. You know what those expectations are? They are planned resentments. Nobody's going to meet your expectations. They might a little bit here or they might a little bit there, but the bottom line is ultimately, if you are a demanding person with a lot of expectations, people are not going to meet those expectations. And then you are going to resent them or resent the situation. Anger, addiction, pride, codependencies. I need this. Sense of entitlement. Oh my goodness, this nation is wrapped in a sense of entitlement. Blame passing. This goes a lot with me always being right. Because when then I'm actually kind of wrong, then I just blame it on somebody else. And I'm real good at that. So they literally get down to the end and they still think it's their fault when it wasn't. It was mine. I'm terrible. I know it. I probably shouldn't even be up here. And the last one, not the last one, because hopefully you are thinking through some things on your own, some things that the Lord maybe has been dealing with you on, or new things. But the last one that I put down that I thought of was this idea of fear. What do I fear? What do I fear about giving this up? Why did this man walk away? What do I fear? What is this identity, this thing, this idol, this possession that possesses me? What does it do that Jesus can't do? And so instead of turning to him, I clutched the green sweatshirt. Again, today I am not here to convict you of anything. That's not my role. But I'm hoping that you are willing to do what this man did, pursue Jesus, get on your knees, and this is where we're going to go in these 7 points right now. Get on your knees, pursue him, and when he says to you, here's what we're talking about, realize that right before he said that, what did he say? He said, I love you. He looked on this man, and he loved him. All right, so number one in your notes. Number one in your notes. Finding my notes. Number one, the blanks are there. Have you already tried to fill them out? Some of you are already done. All seven points are already all filled in and all that. And that's great. Kind of. Good for you. Watch this really cool thing that can happen with technology. I didn't even know they could do stuff like this. You ready? Watch this. Oh. Number one in your notes, passionately pursued Jesus and knelt before him. Jesus didn't go seeking this guy. I mean, that's what Jesus does, right? He seeks those that are lost. He seeks and he finds and all that kind of stuff. Isn't that what Jesus... But Jesus isn't seeking this guy. This guy's literally chasing after him. Jesus is leaving the scene. He's heading down the road. And this guy pulls up his skirt, whatever, because, you know, they had long robes there. Pulls it up and he's running. And he's kind of out of breath, which is not why he knelt down, because he was totally out of breath. I don't think that. I think he knelt down because there's a realization, there's an understanding of respect here. But Jesus didn't find him out. He went after Jesus, and he knelt down. There was some familiarity with Jesus and his ministry. He kind of had a sense of what was going on. I don't know, maybe he had stood off to the side for a while and watched Jesus do some things. Maybe he'd heard about Jesus, and so he came to this spot. Jesus is getting ready to leave, so he takes off after him. I don't know. The bottom line is, though, is two things. He pursues him. He passionately pursues him. He kneels down, and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do?" So there's a desire. There's a passion. Listen, I am not saying to any of you in here specifically that this is a salvation message and you need to get saved today. Maybe you do, but that's not what I'm saying. And I'm certainly not chasing down a path of, if you hang on to that green sweatshirt, you're going to lose your salvation. The point I'm making is that each of us in this room, we would not be here on a Sunday morning, unless, of course, your mom and dad made you be here. We would not be here on a Sunday morning if there wasn't some passion to pursue Jesus, if there wasn't some willingness for these songs and raising our hands and praising him to kneel before him and worship him. There's a passion in this man to figure this out. If you've been raised up in the church for any length of time, when you hear this story, I know that I have for years, we tend to blast this guy. Oh, he's ridiculous. He's super rich. You know, he's got all this cool stuff, and you know, and he's arrogant and he's ridiculous. But that's not what I read in this very first verse. I read of a man who literally went after Jesus and kneeled down before him and said, good teacher, good teacher. Whether he was being flippant, which I don't think he was, or he just didn't really understand, which is what I think is more the point, he said, what must I do? There's a questioning. There's at least some level of hunger. And I think all of us have that. We're made in the image of God. There's a drawing because we are made in God's image. There's a drawing of us to the Father. Number two, good teacher. Verse 18, Jesus then says, the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth is, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And I have over the years have kind of flipped this verse around in my head and thought, you know, this doesn't make much sense. I read one thing that said that the people that argue that Jesus is not God, they use this verse as proving it. That Jesus was literally saying, I'm not God. What's wrong with you? And of course, we know that's not true because Jesus is God. So he says this, why are you calling me good when only God is good? And I think the bottom line is, I don't think the man was being flippant. I think that's kind of something they called these teachers at this time. Like you call Pastor Hal. I mean, you don't mean it to be flippant or whatever necessarily. I mean, I think it's what he said, but the bottom line is what Jesus ultimately is chasing is that this man really doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't realize that Jesus is God and he is good. Because we're going to get down into a couple of verses and this man is going to do what? He's going to walk away. And that revelation of God and his love doesn't happen. Number three, then, verse 19. Number three, 19. Obey the commands. Obey the commands. This man is a Jew. He's Jewish. He's wealthy, so he's probably been trained for quite some time in the Jewish laws. He probably, you know, all the little Jewish boys went to school for a little while, and then after a while, some of them were taken out because the families weren't wealthy enough, or whatever, and they were given into trades and different things like that. And then some continued out even further down and became priests and rabbis and Pharisees and all that kind of stuff. But this man is a good Jew probably, and so Jesus says, notice the ones that he says, and there's six of them. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, you know, stuff like that. I don't think for one second that Jesus was just randomly picking six. I don't think that Jesus was just kind of flipping. I don't think Jesus was like this. He's like, well, you know the commands. Don't murder. Pete, you got one, Pete? Honor your mom and dad. Good one, Pete. That's a good one. Honor your mom and dad. I don't think Jesus was like that at all. I think he knew exactly the six he was picking. Because if you look at the four that he leaves out, because what did he just say in the verse right in front of that? Why do you call me good? Only God's good. He knows he's God. He's questioning this guy because, see, look at the four he leaves out. Because we know there's 10, right? There's 10 commandments. We're aware of that. There's hundreds of laws under the Hebrew times, but there's 10 commandments. And here are the four that he leaves out. You'll have no other God before God. You'll have no idols. Do not use God's name in vain. And keep the Sabbath day holy. All four of those speak to your relationship with who? God. All six speak to what? Your relationship out here with other people. And so the guy's like, boom, I'm a good guy. I mean, I help people. That old lady the other day, man, I helped her right out. Helped her across the street, petted her cat. We're good. You're a good teacher. We're good. And Jesus says, well, why are you calling me good? He's helping the man understand. He's helping him see that there's a flaw. And it goes way beyond his riches specifically. It goes to his heart. So then we get into verse 20. Verse 20, number four in your notes. Ready? Oh, that was off a little bit. Sorry, I'll do a better snap. That's okay. And so the guy says what? I'm good. I got this. Yes. Jesus names those six. Jesus names those six, and he's like, done. I came to the teacher. I asked him what I needed to get to eternal life. He's pursuing. He's wanting to know. He's got a good heart that's heading in a good direction. He says, I'm good. I have carefully obeyed all of these since my youth. And now here's where I jump in. Here's where I jump in. And you see if you jump in with me. Because all these years that we've known this story of the rich young ruler, blah, 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 blah. We get to this verse. Jesus names off those six. And the guy says, not only have I done those, but I've done them for how long? Pretty much forever. And we go just like this. Ready? Here's the pose you do. Here's the pose I do. You ready? Listen to me right now. And we point fingers and we put our hands on our hips and we go, you are lying. You're making this up. Are you seriously that conceited to think that you've obeyed these rules perfectly since your youth? That's ridiculous. And I'll tell you why I do it. I'll tell you why I point my finger at him. I'll tell you why I put my hands on my hips, cross my arms, look back at the boys and say, listen to this guy. Ridiculous. I'll tell you why I do it. And maybe this resonates with you just a little bit. Here's why I do it. Because I know the darkness of my own heart. How dare this guy think that he's better than me? How dare this guy say, well, I do this and I do that. Man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm on the road. I got this all figured out. Since my youth, I've done it. And instead of it breaking my heart, as my heart should be broken, instead of it doing that, what I do is I get my hands on my hip, I get my feet in the air, I get my head moving, and it's ridiculous. But what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? The very next verse. I don't know if the guy's on his knees and he's like, okay, you know, what is it? And those six. And he's like, those six. Yes. I'm good. Since my youth, I don't know if he stood up now. But what does Jesus do? The very next verse. It says, and Jesus looked on him and loved him. He didn't try to convict him. He didn't try to say, you know, oh, I got a Bible study for that one, buddy. You're so far off on your theology. This is ridiculous. Hey, Pete, John, did you hear what this guy just said? Oh, my goodness. And make a big deal about it. What does Jesus do? It says he looks on this man and he loves him. I'm asking you right now to look at your green sweatshirt that you are clutching. And then look at Jesus. Then look at your green sweatshirt. And then look back at Jesus. Jesus is not going to be like my mom and tear it out of your hand and throw it away. He's not going to be like me, put his hands on his hip and say, that is ridiculous. You're making that up. Jesus is looking at you and he's saying what? I love you. I love you. And if you will give me that green sweatshirt, I will take it and I will take it to that cross and I will put that green sweatshirt on and I will die because I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that it's a story about a rich guy. I got that. I don't mean to try to excerpt something out and make it say something that it's not saying. The riches are just the covering for where his heart was. What defines you? What identifies you? What have you put on the throne? And Jesus looks on him in this next verse and he loves him and says, you know, that's great. That's good. But I see your green sweatshirt. But I see your green sweatshirt. Why do we hold on to them? Why do you hold on to them? And so, yes, he goes down through, what am I on? Five still. Jesus looked on him and loved him. Did you get those blanks for number five? So yes, Jesus says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Number six, then, in your notes. Verse 22. And he went away sad. Please hear me today. And I probably don't believe that I'm telling you anything new, nothing revolutionary. I'm not going to say this and you're going to be like, wow. I don't think that. But I promise you, from life experience, from green sweatshirts that I'm even still holding now, that the moment I hear Jesus say, I love you, but I continue to hold on to that green sweatshirt, and I turn and I walk away, I'm going to walk away sad. I don't care how you justify it. I don't care how you come to a conclusion of it. I don't care how you hide it. I don't care what you do. But that green sweatshirt versus the love of the Lord Jesus Christ will always send you away sad. The giving up of that sweatshirt, that turning it over to him, that victory with him saying, I will define you. I will identify you. You will be mine. I will stand with you with my Father one day and say, this one is mine. That brings joy. That brings victory. But when we hang on to that green sweatshirt, and I'm not talking about losing our faith or anything like that or losing our salvation. I am saying that every single one of us, we hold on to these green sweatshirts. And in that moment, in that particular situation, we turn, we hear him, we watch him, we look at him, and we still turn. And we will always turn and walk away, always sad. Nope, nope, nope. This time when I keep a hold of this green sweatshirt, it's going to be okay. And I'm going to come out happy on the other end. No, you're not. Ever. And you know it, and so do I. We will always walk away sad. The enemy is going to try to convince you that you need it. He's going to convince you that it's your right to have it. He's going to convince you that if you lose it, if you let it go, then what in the world are you going to do? And all of those fears and all of those lies begin to creep in, and we retain, and we keep. Here's an even better one: we give it up, and we do like that, and then we snatch it right back up. And I want to encourage you, if you let it go, if you drop it down, whatever that green sweatshirt is, when you hear him say, I love you, and so you go, well, then here it is. And then you find yourself picking it up again, this rehearsing things in my head. Oh, my goodness, people, please understand that I have been battling this most of my life because I overanalyze. I overthink everything. And so I rehearse, and I've got this little thing that I do. And this, I know it's, what is it? 12:28. I don't have dinner for you. I was completely lying 100%. But please hang with me for a little. I've got this little thing that I do when I begin to rehearse in my head. When I'm holding on to that offense, when I'm holding on to that grudge, when I'm holding on to that time that I've been wrong, and I rehearse it in my head, here's something that I do. And again, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just saying, and it doesn't always work, but I want to throw this thing down. I want to be loved. I want to receive that. I want that to define me, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not this thing, this rehearsing that I hold on to. So here's what I do. How many of you, you recognize the song? You're probably not going to recognize it because I don't sing. So I should have Bobby probably get his guitar because he would do a much better job than me. But oh my gosh, 5,000 steps. I'm all over the place today. Look at that. It's crazy. My watch is going off right now telling me I got 5,000 steps. Whew. Where was I? Oh yes, the song. Here it is. You ready? This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. And that's the whole song, over and over and over again. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I may look like I'm surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. And so as soon as I feel myself starting to rehearse, as soon as I feel myself starting to pull that old grudge back up, that old offense back up, oh my gosh, I go to that song. And when I've sung that song about 30 times in my head, then I just begin to pray. Father, I need you. Help me to receive you. Jesus, I know you love me. This is ridiculous. This is a lie that I'm rehearsing in my head again and again and again. And if I hold this green sweatshirt and I walk away, I'm going to be sad again and again and again. But with you, there's victory. With you, there's life. And I dare say that there are some of you that have been holding on to a particular or a couple green sweatshirts for a very, very, very long time. And there's two things I want you to understand before we walk out of here in the next 30 seconds. And there's two things. Number one, what did Jesus do to that man when he turned and walked away? What did he do? He let him go. He will let you hold that green sweatshirt. He's not going to be like my mom. He's not going to be like me. He's going to let you hold it. But here's the other thing. In the amazement and the shock and the, oh my goodness, we don't get this. What in the world? That the disciples were in. Your last point, number seven. God makes things possible. With humans, with people, nothing is possible. But not so with God. Because with him, all things are possible. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray over you. Here's what I'm going to do. If you are willing, and you don't have to, I don't want to freak anybody out or anything like that, and you know, and like I don't even like to stand up and all this stuff, so you don't have to, but if you would like me to, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over everybody regardless if you want me to or not, because you don't have a choice in that. I'm just going to do it. But if you would like to acknowledge this, not before me, again, because I am not the convictor. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. But you are willing to say, all right, Jesus, I got a green sweatshirt. Well, truth be told, I got about 10 green sweatshirts. If you are willing to do that and stand, I'm going to say this, stand in a faith step of recognition that Jesus loves you in spite of, because you're you, these green sweatshirts, because he loves you. And we're going to throw them down. And we may pick them right back up. I don't know, some of us have been picking these green sweatshirts up for a long time. But then we're going to get in with God again and again and again and again because he loves you. So if you have a green sweatshirt and you're willing, you're not acknowledging it to me, you're not acknowledging it to anybody around you. You are simply acknowledging it to the Father, and you're acknowledging it to the Savior, the one who loves you passionately, the lover of your soul. If you have a green sweatshirt, would you stand? Thank you. You don't have to. I'm not asking anybody to. I do not want this to be about me and asking you, and so the pressure of people around you. So let's pray. And you pray. You say, God, I've got this green sweatshirt. I got two or three of them. I'm afraid to let them go. I've been hanging on to them for so long. They're who I am. They identify me. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an idol. You have put that on the throne of where Jesus should be. Heavenly Father, you see those who are standing. You understand what they are saying. You understand it way far better than I do. Oh my goodness, thank God you understand it way better than I do. Because I don't get it. I'm like the disciples standing behind you whispering. I don't get it. But you do. And that's the beauty of all this. You do. Because you love us. You're crazy in love with us. You're recklessly in love with us. So reckless that you sent your son, Jesus. You're so reckless that you went to the cross. You obeyed under death circumstances. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help us now to throw these sweatshirts down. Help us to fight every lie of the enemy with the truth of your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if we pick them up again, I pray that you would help quicken in us. You would help us to quickly throw them back down and get back with you. I renounce fear right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this auditorium. In the name of Jesus, I renounce fear. Fear is from the enemy, and it is a lie. There is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is safety and security and wholeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you to receive that right now. I ask you to renounce the lies of the enemy, and in the place of the lies, put the truth of the Word of God. Because the truth that you know will set you free.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.